What's up, everybody? Welcome on into my newest podcast. I'm Wanderous Kate, 24-year-old recent grad student, and just moved back to my hometown of Daytona Beach, Florida. For the last 2 years, I made it my sole mission to travel the United States while living in different places, and by God, was it fun. Not done yet. Just on pause. I actually just recently returned home from a 7-night, 8-day road trip from Denver, Colorado to Portland, Oregon. Super fun. We went through 5 different states: Wyoming, Idaho, Utah, Oregon, and Colorado. And on this last trip, I kind of had some self-reflection after it and realized that there are some certain tips and tricks that I've learned throughout my years of road trip, and rather it be just a few hours or a few days, one state or a few, no matter the content, there's some tips that I've learned that are helpful on just about every venture, every journey. And so I'm here to share them with you. Rather you're a first-time road tripper or a newbie traveler, and you're just out here trying to get a little bit of advice, because let's be honest, back in the day when I first started road tripping, I wish somebody had given me a little bit of advice. So this last road trip I went on was a little different than some of my older ones, because I'm used to taking my own car. Usually it was me packing up my little 05 Hyundai hatchback, by the way, only 2-door. With a friend or 2, maybe 3, and us just hitting the open road. But this last road trip I went on was a little different because we took my girl Leah's car. I've been living back in Florida for about 2 months now. She called me up one day and said, "Hey, think you could fly in and we could go on a road trip in my car from Colorado to Portland?" And I said, "Sure. Yeah, girl. In there." So we did it. I flew to Denver, Colorado with 150 pounds of luggage, by the way. More about that in a bit, but spent 7 nights, 8 days exploring the beautiful western part of the United States, and no regrets, guys, no regrets. If you've never been out there that way, you really should make it a point, because it is gorgeous. Absolutely just gorgeous. Rainy a little bit though, so go in the summer months. Don't be like us. Don't hit it in April when it's the rainiest. Still a lot of fun though. So anyway, back on it. Tips and tricks I've learned. There's about 8 here. Some of them all kind of merged together. It's not truly 8, but. Dude, first things first, guys, especially to my ladies. Don't overpack. Simple. Don't overpack. Don't be like me. Don't bring 150 pounds of luggage. Now, don't get me wrong, I didn't bring 150 pounds of shoes or anything, guys. This was a camping road trip because we're 2 broke college kids. You know what I'm saying? We're on a budget. We're not trust fund babies. We work for a living. So, one full bag, 50 pounds, was just nothing but camping gear because Leah didn't have any out in Colorado, and I had brought all mine back to Florida, so one bag was just nothing but camping gear and things we might need. Now, the second bag was clothes and shoes, and again, guys, don't be like me. I brought 8 pairs of shoes. I also didn't know what the weather was going to be like, so there's that. And I'm glad I did bring, because I wore about 4 of them. Probably out of 8. I didn't wear the flip-flops and stuff like that because it was rainy, but. And then a third bag I brought was nothing but camera equipment, GoPros, sweaters, things that I thought I'd really need that couldn't fit in my luggage. And I've got the bruises on my legs to prove how heavy that duffel bag truly was. Guys, don't be like me. You don't need it. Out of that 150 pounds of luggage I brought, we probably only used about 60 of it. Buy things as you go. You know, we live in a world where Walmart is available in almost every city. Pretty much every city. There's always a dollar store around. Buy things you need as you go. Like for me, I probably didn't need to bring that survival kit. Probably could have bought one at Walmart. Especially when you're in a small car, like I used to be able to get away with overpacking because normally it was my own car. And I'm pretty organized when I travel. Everything's got a place and I like it to be in it so that I can find it, especially in a hurry. You never really know when the weather's gonna change or when you gotta get out of somewhere in a hurry. So, if you're organized like me, you could probably get away with overpacking, but not in somebody else's car. I love my girl Leah, that's my girl. We had the most amazing time on this trip, but unfortunately she's not as organized as I am, and so I felt clustered in that car the whole time. The whole time. Pack light and organize the crap out of your car. Tip number one. Number two, guys, bring the damn cooler. Buy the freaking cooler. I don't care how big and clunky or how small and squishy it is. Bring and fill the damn cooler. Not only does it save you money on stopping every few hours to grab a snack and a drink from a gas station, but it also saves you time. Bring the cooler. And in the event that you're camping, which you should have a cooler anyway if you're camping, you can make your meals. Leave the food in the cooler. Fill it up every few days at a Walmart. Another thing, don't overpack food. Snacks, you can never go wrong with having too many bags of chips, but food in a cooler will go bad after so many days of being in it. So if you're going on a 7-night road trip like us, buy about 3 days worth of food at a time. Buy more as you go along. That was tip number two. Tip number three, utilize camping spots and truck and rest stops. I'm so serious. There are travel centers all throughout the US. There's TAs, which stand for Travel Centers of America. There's Petros, Pilots, Flying J's, Loves. I know you've seen them. I know that you might have thought they were just big ass gas stations for truckers, but they're not. They're for everyday travelers just like you and me. And they're awesome. They're not just a place to get gas and buy food from one of their like markets, but they're also a great place to take a shower. Anywhere from $6 to $10 gets you a nice shower. And some of them even offer laundry facilities. I actually took advantage of both of those on this last trip with Leah. We hadn't showered in a few days, feeling kind of gross. We were about to head into Salt Lake and go drinking with some friends that we knew out there. So we stopped in at a Flying J and got a quick shower for $10, dried out our sleeping bags in their dryer. And we got along our way. What else we used a truck stop for this trip was to sleep. You heard that right. I actually slept in the parking lot of a gas station on this last trip. We didn't mean to. We didn't want to. But the weather didn't permit us to camp, so we slept in the car right next to six big semis. Utilize them, guys. They're not just for the truckers, they're for everyday travelers as well. Rest stops are another great place to stop, make a picnic. They have seating areas. Get out, take a walk, get you a snack out of the vending machine. And a lot of them have security nowadays to where you can sleep there at night. Rest up a couple hours in your car. Utilize these free spots, guys. No, you do not need an Airbnb or a hotel every night. Unless you can afford that, then go ahead. Another thing you should utilize are camping spots. There are thousands of camping, rather it be state, federal or private campgrounds around the entire United States, and they are there for the taking. We stayed in many state parks throughout our trip, camped in many of them. They're around $20 a piece, depending. Some are free. Another great thing about staying at a campground is most of them offer showers as well. Some offer laundry facilities, amongst other things. Ice, firewood, essentials. So really take advantage of these kind of truck stops and camping spots. Tip number three. Guys, I don't care how well you think you know your travel partner. I don't care how well and how long y'all have known each other. Conflicts on road trips do happen. Things happen. Tensions rise. Problems occur. People get frustrated. Shoot, being in a car for 7 days with one other person isn't easy. Work through those conflicts. Be prepared for those conflicts and to talk them out. That's tip number four. Tip number five kind of goes along with four. Stop at those roadside attractions. Play those super stupid car games that your parents used to make you play. Like the license plate game, that is my shiz. It keeps tension down. It keeps you focused, energized. Stop at all of those silly roadside places that you see along the way. No matter how stupid it may seem, getting out of the car for 10 minutes to recollect your thoughts is never a bad thing. So utilize those roadside attractions and play those stupid games because it really does help along the way. Sing your little heart out. Just stay engaged. Next tip, be prepared for the worst, especially car trouble. Things happen, guys, they really do. You might have the nicest, newest car, like Leah's car is a 2013 Chevy something. It's a nice little car. It's not too old, it's only got 30,000 miles, snow tires on it. Not a bad little car, but I'll tell you a story about our journey. We woke up, we stayed in one hotel the entire time, and that was in Portland, Oregon. We had gone to dinner late the night before, gotten back late. The tire pressure light came on. We said, oh, we'll deal with it in the morning. So we did. About 9 o'clock, I go out to the car. Back tire's completely flat. And I mean completely flat. Almost to where the rim was on the ground. We had run over some kind of piece of sheet metal on the highway. And it just completely flattened that tire. Of course, when things like that happen, you panic a little bit. You might even freak out some, cry. It's okay. Be prepared. There's this thing called AAA. Boy, if they aren't lifesavers in disguise, I don't know who is. Luckily, my girl Leah had bought that warranty on her tires from Walmart. She got them from Walmart. So after two calls, one to the insurance to get her AAA out there to tow us, and then one to the Walmart to see if they had time to patch it, we again were on our way. Easy peasy. Prepared. I'll tell you another story of a time I wasn't so prepared. It was my car about 2 years ago. I was living outside of Fort Worth, Texas, and I was traveling over to the Grand Canyon. Stopped in Colorado to pick up my two friends, Alden and Ryan. Got about 5 hours outside of Colorado Springs, up two exits away from Utah. It's 5 a.m., snowing, dark outside. Zoom, hit a mountain lion, bam, messed up my whole front end. Yes, you heard me right. I hit a mountain lion with my little two-door hatchback Hyundai Accent, and my car immediately just broke. Just broke. fluids were flying everywhere. Every single light on the dashboard came on, and I knew this wasn't good. Anyway, get off at the exit at Grand Junction, Colorado. We never actually made it to the Grand Canyon. Took them 5 days in Grand Junction to fix my car, get her back to brand new. I wasn't prepared to hit that mountain line, but you know what I was prepared for? The financial aspect of something going wrong. So I had the money to pay to get us back on the road and back to Colorado Springs safely. And that's the kind of stuff you have to be prepared for, because road tripping's not ever a guarantee. You're not on a cruise ship or some kind of plane to where it's not your problem when it breaks. Just be prepared, guys. Be prepared for the worst light car trouble. Last tip. It's two tips in one. Be flexible in your journey. I know you've heard it a million times. It is not about the destination. It's about the journey to it. That couldn't be more true for a road trip. You want to know why? Because you have this false hope of, oh my God, we're gonna stop and see 122 things on our road trip. At least I'm like that, right? I don't know about you guys. If you only got three things you wanna see, great, but I'm not that person, I'm not that way. Be flexible. You're not gonna get to see everything you wanted to see, do everything you wanted to do. Road tripping takes up a lot more time than just flying. You spend days on end driving just to get to one thing that you wanted to see, and then you're on to the next. Realistically, at every attraction we stopped at along the way, we stopped at about 40, don't get me wrong. We only spent anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours there, and then we were back in the car and on our way. So just stay flexible. Don't get upset when things don't go the way you thought they would. Because it's all about the journey, not the destination. And sometimes you might not even make it to your destination. Like that example I was just giving you about my car troubles. We have a running joke. We made it to the Grand Junction. Not the Grand Canyon, but at least we made it somewhere where it was grand. And you know what? We had the best damn time in the Grand Junction for 5 days. Wasn't on the plan. It's not what we wanted to do. First day was a little hard on all of us because our expectations failed. But once you get over that, and once you realize that it's all about this journey, we had the best 5 damn days hiking away, drinking, meeting every single Uber driver in that town. It was a fun time. So just stay flexible and enjoy the time you're getting away. At the end of the day, thousands of people around the United States wish they were doing what you were doing. No matter how unexpected that journey is, revel in it. Just enjoy it. Road tripping should just be about the fun of road tripping. Keep that in mind. Well, that's all my tips and tricks on road tripping for today. If I missed one, like I said, guys, feel free to holler at me at my blog site, wanderouskate.blog. You can email me directly. Let me know if I missed a tip. I'd love to hear from you. As always, guys, travel far and live freely. This was Wanderous Kate. XOXO. Till next time.